I'm proud of these kids. I remember most of them from second grade when I first seen them in second grade, and all of them are taller than me, all of them. It's always exciting to play basketball with them and to push them around, and then you find that their shoulder length and then their ear length, and then they're saying, "Pastor Graham," and I'm okay with that, because if we're excited about your physical growth, you have invested in your children, in their spiritual growth. They've learned so much. The question is, are you going to leave with what you've learned? Now, I want to be fair. I want to be fair because I'm a little siced. Is that a good word, siced? Is that still, maybe that's my generation? That's our generation. All right. I'm a little messed up a little bit. I'm a little excited. Is that it? I'm excited. And I'm a little nervous. My dad is in town, and he said, "Where are you going to preach today?" And I said, "I'm going over to Tacoma Park." He said, "Is that Elder Wright's church?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got your sermon together?" I said, it's like, "Dad, I'm 45. And he's like, "You're preaching at Wright's church." I said, "Dad, I'm good. I want to say this about Elder Wright, just, you know, that he's such a good man. And I just want to say this, that next to Sister Khalid, he's my savior. Not my God. I didn't say my God. He's my savior. For those who may not understand it, that's your business, but that's my savior. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to be here. I want to share this also before we begin, that to watch the way the school did its thing, to watch the way that your principal took charge so early in the game, I can honestly say that it was a good year, a very good year. Now, some may say, "Well, Pastor, why do you speak like that?" Because I spend at least 80% of my time at the school, and I enjoy watching the development of these young people. But I want to be clear about this, that the message that I'm speaking today is for them, and if it falls on you, then so let it be. I recognize that we come to church for a message, and it's beautiful because we all should come here for a message. But these individuals that I'm speaking to right now, I'm giving them the bread, and if it falls off the table and you get it, then you just got blessed today. So if you will, let's bow our heads. And let's ask God to be with us as we talk about some dreamers. Father, again, we want to thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jacob, Genesis 37, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. Was a what? I'm not talking to all of you, I'm talking to them. Sit up, boy. Here we go. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph was 17 years old when we start his story. And the Word of God tells us that he was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Don't get too deep into that. And Joseph brought his father an evil report. Anybody have brothers and sisters that's always telling on you? Mm-hmm. And the word tells us, now Israel, who's Joseph? Who's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. At least there was a reason. And the Bible then says that he made him a coat of many colors. Now, I know that might have been beautiful, but I want you to think about what we're saying before we go into this, that Joseph had other brothers, but Jacob loved him more and gave him a coat of many colors. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever you have children, you have to be careful who you give what to and who you don't give what to. Amen? I have two. Only two. We're not going for three. And in the two children that we have, we've got to be very careful. Just the other day, we went to Barnes & Noble's, and when we went to Barnes & Noble's, my daughter said there's a certain book that she wanted, and we went there to get her this book because we're so excited that she didn't want to stop at the Target. We're excited that she didn't want to stop at a toy store or whatever. She wanted to stop at Barnes & Noble's. That's where books are. Amen. So because we got excited about that, we went and we took her to Barnes & Noble's, and we said, which book do you want? In fact, I'm so crazy about books that I said, you know what? You pick whatever book you want. Now, you got to be careful because not all books are good books. Not all curriculum is a good curriculum. This is why we endorse what we do here. Come on now. Because not every curriculum is a good... Can I get a commercial very quickly? I know some of us say, I'm going to move to a certain area, and I'm moving to a certain area because the curriculum of this county is better than this county. I need you to know that there's no curriculum that's better than a Christian education. I'm going to go a little further. Now, I want you to understand that there are Christian education, but there's a difference between a Christian education and a Seventh-day Adventist Christian education. I ain't scared of none of y'all. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell you what's truth. Now, I want to be clear about this because there are certain stories that come back to my house that was not brought up in worship in my house. It happened in school. Come on now. And when my children ask me questions that I don't know where it came from, where did God come from? What do you talk about that in class? Really? Which teacher can explain that? Mr. Goo. But the fact of the matter is that they're learning so much, and so when they go into, when she goes into Barnes & Noble and says, I want this book, I'm looking at this book and I'm saying, wow, I'm glad, because her reading didn't really come from us. I'll be honest with you. It comes from a place where they foster reading. Come on now. Then when she says she wants this book, my son sees another book, and he says, I want this book, but we didn't come here for you. He loves the store that his daddy loves. Game? Stop. There you go. I love GameStop. When my wife goes to New York & Company, when she goes to the store, I dash into GameStop with my son because he's the only one in the house that appreciates video games like me. Oh, I love the boy. But now he decides he wants a book. And I'm like, wait a second, you can't get this book. He says, Daddy, I want this book. And I said, we're not getting this book. And we're leaving, and he says, but you gave Zenobia the book. And I turned to my wife and said, well, if we gave her a book, we got to give him a book. She says, we don't have to give anybody anything. But I recognize that if we left the store and gave one and did not give the other, especially that he's saying, you're giving her one and not me, it can leave an impression not only in the relationship between us and him, but between him and his. Come on now, stay with me now. The word is telling us, listen, y'all, the word is telling us that the brothers began to hate him because of the way the father felt about him. Now, I need you all to know this. Listen closely. There's a word called haters. There's two reasons why the brothers hated him. They were hating on him, which is a different way of saying it, because the father loved him more. Watch it now. But there was a second reason why they hated him is because he got communication from God about himself that they didn't receive. You see, when we think about dreams, sometimes we think about dreams as we go to bed at night, and if you ate too much, you're going to have some crazy dreams. Come on, folks, if you dream and see fish, it means somebody's pregnant. If you dream and see white, it means someone's getting married. Good, good, good. We have some West Indians in here. Amen. If your hand is itching, it means you... Wow, look at everybody. All right. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Just remember when you're okay. And in light of this, we recognize that Joseph wasn't dreaming like we tell you, dream high, think high for yourself, plan high. That's not what the Bible was talking about concerning these dreams. God was talking about in this word about dreams that when he went to bed and slept, God talked to him. And you're not too young for God to talk to you. Communication for you does not depend on your relationship with your parents. When you go to sleep, you dream certain things, and some of you, when you remember it, you wonder what it means. Some of you may have dreamed and saw blue today, men. I didn't say boys. And ladies, look at her, she's like, please. You know, the girls always do that. When I call them men, they go, please, where are they? Where are they? Where don't you go, men? Even in church, skeptics, men, no, pastor, they're boys, you know. And in light of this, we find that God gave him a dream, and in this dream, listen, in this dream, he dreamed that they had sheaves, and there were 11 of them, 12 brothers, but 12 sheaves, and think about it, and 11 of them bowed to his sheaf. Now, first of all, it's kind of crazy because you usually don't give obedience to the one that's younger. Listen, it's almost like me walking in this church and saying to Elder Wright, I'm going to take over this. You see that? I was hoping that one of you would say, when Elder Wright, what I'm saying is that one day, I'm throwing hidden messages, you know. I can't stand RPC forever. You understand, sir? All right, good, good, good. And in light of this, the brothers is a little bit confused. And I know you know the story, but I need you to look at the story in light of your life. And the brothers are confused because, are you saying that one day I'm going to bow to you? Are you saying that one day you're going to be my boss? Are you saying that one day you're going to make more money than me? Are you saying, yes, I want you to know that one day you're going to make more money than your parents. When are you going to make more money than? One day you're going to be higher than? And if you don't see it now, what God's plans are for you now, then you're not listening to his true communication. It is important for you to know that it's okay for you to speak what God told you. You see, they were hating on him because he began to speak about God's plan for him. When God has a plan for you, and he tells you specifically what the plan is, it's okay to shout about it. It's okay to say, listen, it's okay to say, God is going to allow me to finish my schooling because I saw it in a dream. Don't be afraid to give the communication that God has given you. You see, some of you may think that you want to be a doctor one day because you're looking at doctors. But God has put something inside of you, and he's given you a communication that says, I want you to be this, that, or the other for only one reason. You ready? For my good, for my glory. Far gone are the days that we teach our children that it's all about money. We don't ask them to be successful based on a paycheck. Come on now. I mean, success is not based on a paycheck. For them, success is based on when they lay back, sit back, are they obedient to God? And if you're going to be a doctor one day, and God told you so, and you followed it, then you are obedient to God, not your parents. I had a teacher in eighth grade. Stay with me. I had a teacher in eighth grade. Her name was, yeah, I had a teacher in eighth grade. Now, I want to share this before we go up and come down. My teacher back then, I grew up in a different time than you grew up. In other words, if you lost your homework, you would get a spanking for that. Eighth grade. Some of you are looking at me stone-faced like, if Miss Agu touched me. But I need you to understand that I grew up in a time that if you forgot your homework, you would get a beating. Oh, I wish those days were here. No one called Child Protective Services when we were getting beaten in school, and we got beat with sticks and stuff. Oh, okay. I mean, I would let my kids go to school because if they misbehave, they're not going to come back and tell me, oh, we got a beating today. Why? Because you're going to get a second one. That's the way school was. And what's so amazing about this is that she told me one day, she said to me, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I said, I'm going to be a pastor, seventh grade. She said, well, I don't want you, listen, I don't want you to be the pastor that says, do what I say, but don't do as I do. And I will never forget that in all my life because she believed that God told me I was going to be a pastor. So relatives would come and they would say, why don't you be a doctor? Why don't you be a so-and-so? Why don't you be a lawyer? Why don't you be a so-and-so? Because I would be the best lying lawyer there is. No. I didn't. Not all lawyers lie, but I would. I would be a lying lawyer. Don't let me do your taxes. I'm going to find money for me. I couldn't be anything except a pastor because it's the only way I can be saved. You see, what I want you to understand is that Joseph received a dream so prevalent, right, that everything that followed after he lived by the communication that God gave him. So God told him that one day your family is going to get down and give obedience to you. That doesn't make sense to me. Listen, folks, my dad came to my house yesterday. And when he came to my house yesterday, this is my house. I pay for it. I pay the mortgage. My father came to my house yesterday and said, why does this look like this? Look at your garage. You can't clean out your garage. I'm sitting there like, you know what I wanted to say to him? I wanted to say something like, yo, why don't you just chill? Or he may say, are you talking to me? You talking to me like that in your house? Because the truth of the matter is, when we have elders, listen, doesn't matter if it's your father, come on now, or if it's not your mother, or is as long as they're older than you, they have more wisdom. And I want you to understand, not that we use our wisdom wisely all the time, but recognizing that it is not that often that someone who is your parent or someone who's your boss or someone is the one that is going to be obedient to you. It didn't make sense for him to tell his mother and his father that one day, star and moon, you're going to get down and you're going to worship me or you're going to be in obedience to me. It didn't make sense, but I want you to know that God's plans are not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. I ain't scared of none of y'all. Some of you won't send your children to Tacoma Academy because you're looking at your paychecks. Amen, piano. The amount of calls that I received that I want to send my child to Tacoma Academy, but I don't have the money. I believe that if you can sacrifice for your children to go here and sacrifice some foods like McDonald's, sacrifice going certain places, maybe sacrificing a vacation, or if you don't have a child, sacrifice something and still send something. Because the truth of the matter is that the dreamers are all here. And they need us for their dreams to continue. The word says, stay with me. The word says that he is sent now to check on his brothers. Why would you send the youngest to check on your brothers? And as he's going to check on his brothers, the word says that the brothers see him from afar off, and their words were, behold, the what, everybody? The dreamer. He now has a nickname because God has a plan. And I want you to understand, if you don't smoke weed and they make fun of you and call you the non-weed smoker, then be known as the non-weed smoker. Ladies, if you decide that you're not giving any boy anything, and they tell you, oh, you're a prude, say, yes, that's my middle name. Oh, he studies all the time. He doesn't want to play basketball. You hear what I just said? I'm talking to you. If they say he doesn't want to play basketball because he's studying right now, oh, man, you're wasting your time. You're a waste. Tell him, yes, I'm a waste. That's my name, Dreamer. Waste, prude, call me whatever you want as long as I'm following the direction that God wants me to be in. Behold, look, the dreamer is coming. And as the dreamer is coming, listen, they had plans. Listen, God had plans for you, and they had plans for him. In other words, if you stay on track, listen, if you stay on track, God's plan is going to come through. But people who see you on track want to derail you because they don't have no plans. And I believe that everyone in this room is on a plan. It's up to you to be obedient to the plan. So it's not that you don't have a plan, it's that you're not obedient to God's plan. Why is my life going the way it is? Because you're derailing yourself. Nobody derails you. Sick and tired of people coming up, oh, this guy did this, this guy did. If you got pregnant, then it's your fault. If you're in jail and you did it, it's your fault. If you get an F in school, there we go, good. Didn't come out right. It's your fault. If you fail, it's your fault. Stay with me. If you drop out of school, it's your fault. If you get an A, it's your fault. If you succeed, it's your fault. I mean, if you become valedictorian of your class in high school and in college, guess what? It's your fault. I like those kind of faults. It's my fault that I didn't hang out with you. It's my fault that I didn't play your game. It's my fault that I didn't get high when everybody else got high. And don't say I'm talking about adult themes to them. They're more adult than some of you think. Behold, look at the dreamers. And the Bible tells us that they had plans for him. I'm not going too far in it, but the word tells us that when they saw him coming, like they're going to see y'all coming. The devil going to see y'all coming. They're going to have plans for you. And the plan was to kill you, but there'll be someone that will put you in a pit to hold you off for a while. I'm excited. I'm sorry. I got excited. Wait a second. There's always someone. So stay with me. Shh. You don't listen to me. Don't watch me. There's always someone. Ella Wright, just excuse me. There's always someone that will put you in a pit. There's always someone who's not looking to cut your neck. There's always someone that will put you in a pit. Don't kill them, but let's put them in a pit. And when you're going into this pit, ask yourself, am I a well or a cistern? I need you to know that sometimes you're going to get in some issues and some problems, and sometimes you're going to feel like you're in a pit, but you got to ask yourself, am I in a pit or am I in a cistern? I mean, am I in a well or am I in a cistern? If you're in a well, there's always fresh water coming in. If you're in a cistern, somebody else got to put the water in. You can't depend on anyone to put water in for you. You can't depend on people to give you a blessing. You see, when a well is made, they duct it in such a way that water will always flow in from nature. Which means if you want water to continue to be in the pit that you put yourself into or other people may put yourself into, you got to depend on the one that gives you real water, the water that will never let you go thirsty. So as he's in this pit, listen, as he's in this pit, he's taken out and sold. And when he is sold, listen, he doesn't forget the dream. Because if you forget the dream, then you forget your path. If you forget your path, you forget your purpose. If you forget your purpose, then you have no beginning. If you have no beginning, then you have no end. And I need you to know that God has put you in this place for such a time because he dreamed you up before you were. Are you telling me that I was 5'2 before I was? Yes. Are you trying to tell me that I was this good looking before I was born? You got to be kidding me. Are you telling me I'm this fine before I came out of my mother's womb? I said, oh my goodness. In fact, I shared this fineness. I can make up my words. I got a master's. With another brother. He's taller. He's thicker. But he's not as good looking as me. Because if I don't think so, who's going to think so for me? If I don't think there's something good about me, then I'm going to follow someone else's plans for me. And so, listen, and so he's taken, because I know we know the story. We talk about it in school, and many of us know it. And please stay with me, because we're coming from Genesis 37, 39, and 41. And please read it when you get a moment. But the Bible tells us that he's elevated. He's elevated because whatever his hand found to do, he did it with all of his might. It amazes me that God is not asking you to move. Listen, God is not asking you to separate the waters of the Red Sea. He's only asking you to take the bucket. Take the bucket, and he'll take care of the rest. Stay with me now. And then this woman comes to him because he's just that good looking. All of you look good. All of you are beautiful. And listen, someone's going to come to you to derail you because of your beauty. And I want to say this because we don't talk about it enough. Give me 15 minutes, I promise. I'm going to get out of here. And I heard there's food over there. Okay, so don't allow your passion to get you off your path. It doesn't last that long. Don't allow a boy to direct. Listen, a boy, I don't care if he's 25. Some 25-year-olds are boys. Don't let them derail the path that God has you on. Don't let a party derail that. And high school is the place. Listen, high school is a place that you may become confused about life. You may start thinking on your own. That we don't want you to think on your own. I have kids. I don't want them to think on their own. I want them to think like me. And what's so sad is they're going to start thinking on their own. Ming, where's Ming? Ming, where you at? She's going to start thinking on her own. Your sons and your daughters are going to ask you questions like, where did God come from? Does he really like me? Why am I an Adventist? Why am I not? Or they may ask you, are you good with my preference? Are we okay? And you need to answer not by your mouth, but by your actions. It is important to understand that God has given you a dream, and you've got to continue the dream because it's his plans for you. You want to know why so many people here are upset with life? Let me share this with you. There's people in your church that look mad all the time. You want to know why they look mad? I ain't scared of y'all. They look mad because their plans were derailed by some decision they made. Look at y'all. Some of y'all smiling now. I'm happy. But this woman came to him. This woman said, lie with me. Lay down with me. And his words were, listen, his words were, I cannot do this thing and sin against, come on, against whom? against God. And it was so beautiful because God took him. Listen, God took him because he did right. God took him because he did right, and he closed him up for a little while. Let me tell you why. Because if he left that situation unscathed, and there was another one, and there was another one. Come on, say with me. And there was another one. It could happen that the pressure would have gotten on him so much that it could have derailed him, so God put him in prison. You ever lost a job? Anybody ever lost a job? You lost it so you can find yourself. Sometimes we lose our job so we'll budget better than we did. Let me share this with you. One time when I wasn't working, I used to have everything. Cable, two cars, so-and-so, what have you, nice clothes, the whole nine. When you lost a job, you said, no, we can't buy that. We can't do that. We can't go here. We can't go there. And you lived better than you did when you had money. When God put him in jail, listen, when God allowed him, I'm sorry, to go into that prison, God put him in a place where he can be elevated. Prison. He put him in a place where he could be elevated. Watch this. They put him in a place where he couldn't be bothered. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit. They put him in a place, right, where he won't be bothered by Potiphar's wife or anyone anymore. Sometimes we are where we are, so we'll stop sinning. Sometimes we can't pay that rent, so we won't pay attention to some fools. It's quiet in here, but this is for you. So in light of this, he comes out and God elevates him. Where does he elevate him? God elevates him in such a place, watch this, so that now he can make some decisions for Pharaoh. Wow, I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that God can take your dream and allow your dream to come true. But it won't come true unless you're obedient to him. I'm going to say it again. Your dreams will not come true if you're not obedient to him. And God is calling you to be obedient to him. God is calling you to not stay dreamers, but to be executors of the dream. Which means, if God told you that you're going to be a teacher one day, then you start now, not later on. You begin planning to be valedictorian. You begin planning to, did you hear what I just said? You begin planning what your paycheck's going to look like. You begin planning what house you want to live in. I'm going to say this about my twin brother, and I'm going to land a plane on this. My twin brother's crazy. He's crazy. I don't care. Y'all go back and tell him. When he was 15 years old, he would buy books on what he wanted his house to look like. And I would look at him and say to him, yo, man, you don't have any money. He says, but I'm going to tell you, this is the kind of house I want to live in. Then he went to school to be a doctor. Patrick went to school to be a doctor. This guy can't even cut a frog, much less. So I'm looking at him and wondering, yo, what are you doing? He's, I'm going to be a doctor. Why? Because I want this. I want that. He used to have BMWs on the wall. I mean, he used to have BMWs and houses and everything on the wall. That was his dream. And let me tell you something. It was so amazing to me. Please, you can go ahead and tell him. It was so amazing because all I wanted to do was pastor. That's it. So he says, I couldn't do that because I want this. As a pastor, you can't have it. I want this, I want that, and I want the other. But then one day after he finished school, someone asked him to speak somewhere. And I was listening to him. And I said, this Negro can preach. This guy's bad. Someone just said, what you doing with your life? He said, man, I think I'm going to ministry. I said, what about your plans? What about your BMW? What about your houses? What about all these things that you put up? And it dawned on me, watch this, that was his plan. That was his plan. God laughs at our plans. He jokes at our plans because it's not his plan. And I couldn't believe it that my brother drives little cars, always fixing up old houses just to make it because he followed God's plans. Now, I don't know about this, but I want you to understand that when he had all of this up, it was his plan until he decided to yield to God's plan. Behold the dreamers. I recognize, I'm going to put it in our time now, I recognize what happened with Joseph. What happened with Joseph is he remained faithful to God's plan. That's it. He never thought he could be better or greater. Elder Wright, can I share this with you? I'm going to share this with them, but I'm going to share this with you. I got a call the other day because there's some elections coming up in another part of the country. Oh, I got to share this with you. When I received this call and some other calls, my ego got big. Let me help some of you. You know, some conferences, they have elections coming up, and they keep laughing, and they call. And I went to my wife. I said to her, hey, hon, they asking so-and-so. She said in these words, over my body. I was so upset because I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted to be. I knew what I thought derailed me. Come on now. I knew this is what I want, and they're offering it to me 10 years later. I went back to her and I said, yo, what's up? You know, what you think? Listen, our house is still not sold in New York, which means maybe God is giving me a sign. She said, no, the sign is that we sell the house in New York and forget about it. Y'all missed that. I'm trying to say the house is still in New York. Maybe God is leading us back to New York. And she said, no, what God is saying to you is that you need to sell the house in New York. I went back the other day, stay with me, I went back the other day to New York, and so many people were in the church, and after the sermon, people came up, you are the guy. You know what I'm saying? Come on now, you're that guy. And I became puffed up again. So my wife and I went for a walk to downtown Brooklyn, and I was trying to get her to feel the old flavor of Brooklyn. She thought we were doing our 2 miles together that we do every day. But I was trying to get her to feel Metro Tech Brooklyn and where we grew up. And I heard the train passing by. I said, honey, you hear that? And on the way back from the Barclays Center, walk from the Barclays Center, I said, honey, I could do this. I can do this. And she said, and I won't. And I realized that sometimes God puts people in your life to help you stay on track. Sometimes there's people here to help you realize that your plans are not greater than God's plans. God will put good friends in your life, but you got to know who those friends are. God's going to put some teachers in your life, but you got to know which teachers they are. God's going to put you in touch with people who are interested in your dreams the same way that God gave you the dream for your life. And I beg of you, it just might turn out the way Joseph turned out. So if you notice, whenever President Obama drives, there's always cars behind him. Whenever he drives, there's always cars behind him. You listen to this. And when you dig deep and find out what those cars are, you got a decoy car, there's a car, you think he's in front, but you don't know which car he's in because they all look the same. Stay with me now. They all have the presidential seal on it. But the president is in one that you don't know. There's an ambulance that drives that has his blood type. Come on now. There's someone else that drives with him just in case something happens. And I recognize that Joseph was the one in the third car. That when Pharaoh needed to do something, he went to Joseph for everything. And one day you'd realize that God is going to put you in a place so that you can help make decisions that's going to make God look good. I declare to you today to be obedient to what God has communicated to you in your dream. So I say to everyone here, look, behold, the dreamers. Look, they're coming. Look at the pastors in this class. Look at the teachers in this class. Look at the scientists in this class. Look at the street sweepers in this class. Yes. Look at the custodians in this class. Yes, look at those who fix cars in this class. Look at the business people in this class. Behold, look at the dreamers. God has connected with them and told them what they would be. God is asking us to help them be the best that they can be. Because one day, we're not going to be in these pulpits anymore. One day, we're not going to be here. One day, we won't be here, and it's the dreamers that will take over. In fact, their classification in this generation has no name. They are the unnamed ones. Do you know that? Maybe today we can call them the dreamers. I pray for each one of you. I watch each one of you this past year grow. I watch each one of you. The only thing I want to say before I pray for you is, Karina, when you become a basketball star, I want a Mercedes-Benz. I'm staking my claim on you and Dominique. You know, where is Dominique here? Is she here? You're right there. I'm staking my claim on you, both of you. If I can't drive a Mercedes now, I'm asking. I didn't get an okay yet out of them. You know, they're looking at me like, whatever, my mom's getting it, you know. Success, man. Wow, look at them, my God. Success. You keep dreaming. And let nothing derail the dream that God has put in you. Father, again, cause them to ride on high places. Help them to remember the school that they came from. Help them to understand that what you have given them, no one can take it away. Only they can give it away. And I ask you right now that as they dream, they'll be obedient to you. So that when you come, we'll not be missing. Not one of them will be missing. In Jesus' name, amen.